And I want to ask you a question this morning. How do you know he's your Savior? Because believe it or not, there's people out there that don't know. They hope he's their Savior. But beloved, we need to know if he's our Savior or not. And I'm going to blow you up. By the way, we got children's chapel today. Y'all are dismissed. Follow Brother Travis, Sister RJ. Y'all are dismissed. Let me get these keys out of my pocket so I don't cling, cling, cling every time I move. Before we go to our text, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's see what Paul told the Corinthians to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Again, this isn't my text, but just kind of set up where I'll be going today. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Still hear some pages rattling, so I'll give you a moment. Everybody there? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and beginning with verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Amen. And then Peter, 2 Peter, please, chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, listen to what he says. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So, what do these two passages have in common? I'll tell you what. The Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter is telling everyone, make sure you're saved. Know for a fact you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Make sure you put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, not other things. Now, Jesus taught a lot of parables, right? And He taught a parable in Matthew chapter 13, and that's where I want us to go this morning. That'll be my text. In fact, in chapter 13 alone, there's 8 parables that Jesus taught, just in Matthew chapter 13 alone. 8 parables. But He taught this one parable that we're going to speak about this morning, and it bothered the apostles, the disciples. In fact, all the other parables He taught, this is the one that said, Lord, you got to tell us some more about this. And the Bible doesn't quite say why it bothered them, but I'm just going to guess, because there are some troubling things in there. And that parable that He taught, and by the way, a parable is an earthly story with heavenly meaning. That's what a parable is, simple. But this one parable about the wheat and the tares bothered the disciples. And it should bother you and I. Why? Because what that parable teaches, what Jesus is teaching, and we'll read our text in a moment, is this. Believe it or not, in every church, there are saved people and there are lost people. Saved church members and lost church members. This ought to be good. I don't know why the Lord laid it on my heart, but He laid this on my heart, so you're going to hear it. You say, well, preacher, we're all saved. I wish. I want to tell you, no one can know except that person in God. And I'll tell you something, there's a lot of people that think they are saved and they've been deceiving themselves. Amen? And I'll throw this in and won't charge you. Some of us would love the opportunity to judge. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not the Holy Spirit, and neither am I. You leave the judging to God. Amen? So many times, they can't be saved. Look at how they are. Well, chances are they're not if they're doing this, that, and this, and that. There's no conviction. But that doesn't give me the right to judge them because I don't know their heart. All I can do is hope they keep coming so I can keep sharing the gospel and the Holy Spirit can keep doing His completed work in their lives. By the way, the Holy Spirit will convict you. So, with that said, let's go to our text. Matthew chapter 13, we'll begin with verse 24. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Jump down to verse 36. And then Jesus sent the multitude away and went to the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So who sows the seed? Who's the farmer? Jesus. And what did he sow? The good seed. What's a good seed? The gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace, right? And notice what it said, and he answered. He said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is what? The world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom, those that have received Christ to save. Notice the tares of the children of the wicked one, those that think they're saved and they're not. Amen. We're still lost. Filled is the world, the good seed of the children of the kingdom, the tares of the children of the wicked one. And the enemy that sowed them is who? The devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather them out of his kingdom, all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You get what he's saying? That's not that hard to understand. But the disciples, it troubled them. It should trouble all of us. Because you may be sitting next to someone in this church that professes Christ, belongs to this church as a member, but they're not saved. They've been deceived into thinking they are saved. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, there's several ways that it happens. And I will bring that out a little later in the message. But I want us to notice a couple things. Wheat and tares. Now, everybody knows what wheat looks like, right? Do you know what a tare is? A tare is what they call bearded darnel. And the difference between wheat and a tare, even though if you held wheat in one hand and a tare in the other and you looked at them, to the naked eye, they would look one and the same. You would have to wait until it's time to harvest, it's time to bear fruit. You see, a wheat plant or seed is going to bear wheat. And a tare is going to bear what? A tare, it can't bear fruit. You see, the difference is this. When the wheat grows and it comes time to harvest, those kernels in that head of wheat will bend toward the earth. To where, with a tare, their heads are light because they're made up of tiny black seeds. And they're good for nothing. And they stand straight up at harvest time. Real wheat will bend toward the earth. A real Christian will always be humbled before God. The more we grow in the Lord, the more humble we become. Because we recognize His grace and all He does for us. But a tare will stand straight up, not willing to bow to God. Hanging, if you will, onto their religion or their works, but not willing to humble themselves before God and confess their sinners. So you see, that's how you can tell wheat from a tare. But let me tell you, in the church, it's very hard, Brother Ciro. Because I'm here to tell you, a tare can talk the talk, they can walk the walk, they can dress like they're supposed to, they can take part and sing in the choir, they can teach a class, they can preach behind a pulpit. And boy, can't tell the difference. Yes, you can. Because I'm going to tell you what the difference will be. We can carry the biggest Bibles. You've heard me say it many times. Every time those doors are open, come popping in with our Bible, showing it off, acting like we really know something. And by the way, I'll go ahead and say this and I won't charge you. Believe it or not, a lost person can learn about the Bible and the Lord in the Lord's church. Especially in a church like this where the Word of God is taught and it is preached, a lost person, a tare, if you will, a lost church member, can learn the Bible. And they can learn to memorize Scripture. They can learn the Bible studies. But you know what the difference is? They will never, ever be able to bear fruit. Where a Christian, one that is truly born again, they will bear fruit. You can't help but bear fruit. You see, a tare or a lost church member, for a while they may fool us. And they may really bear fruit. And I'm going to tell you, there's some folks that, man, they're great workers. Amen. They're great workers. They do great things in the church. But eventually, because they've never truly been born again, eventually, guess what? Their true nature is going to come out. You see, we studied this the other night. In fact, the last two Wednesday nights, we've been kind of talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's true. All believers have the fruit of the Spirit, but we have to work on those things. Amen? Cultivate those things in our lives. But we have the ability to produce fruit because that's the way the Lord made us. But those that are tares, those that are lost church members, jump up and read 19 through 21. And you'll find out what a lost person's nature is. It's adultery, idolatry, murder, all manner of drunkenness, all manner of wickedness and sin. And I'm going to tell you, that's all that's going to come out of a tear. Amen? Oh, they may produce works. And let me go ahead and say this. Here's wheat. Here's a tear. Naked eye, you can't really tell the difference. But, listen to me. Jesus said that the sower, the farmer of the seed, he planted it in what? The ground. And what happened? Well, this is exactly what happened. He planted it in the ground, and that seed is the gospel of grace. Amen? Spiritually speaking. And true wheat, a true believer, a true member of the Lord's church, is going to trust in nothing but Christ and His atoning death at the cross of Calvary. It's going to be His death and His resurrection, and that is all they're going to trust for their salvation. But a tare can trust many things. They can trust someone telling them they're saved, just like Grandma told me I was saved when I was a boy. Well, I'm going to tell you, Grandma doesn't know you're saved. Don't let someone tell you you're saved. And I'll go ahead and warn all of us as parents and grandparents, we better be careful telling our children that they're saved. Because we do not know that. Only God knows that. I have been guilty of telling my kids they're saved. You know what? I'm guilty. I can't say that. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we need to be careful. I'll tell you this, though. If they are saved, they will bear fruit. You can't help but bear fruit. But I'll tell you something else. Some folks base their salvation not only of somebody telling them and assuring them that they're saved because they were a boy. I've heard some people say, well, preacher, I remember when I was young, I had this fuzzy feeling. You better not base your salvation on a fuzzy feeling either. Amen? I've talked to lots of folks, and they'll give me that. Share your testimony. Oh, when I was a boy, I was at church, and we were at revival, and boy, I tell you what, I got to crying, and I went to the altar, and I was afraid, and I just testified, boy, God's good, so I know I must be saved. No! Salvation is never based upon a feeling. I'm not saved because I feel saved. I'm saved because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, and I've accepted that as payment for my sin. Yes. By faith. You must understand this morning. You're not saved because Grandma told you you're saved. You're not saved based upon some fuzzy feeling. My Lord, I was in a Bible-believing, Bible-practicing church. I was raised in a missionary Baptist church. I was at church all the time, and I heard the gospel presented every single time the doors were open. And I had many fuzzy feelings. You know what those fuzzy feelings were? Called conviction. But I didn't know any better. Amen? And you're going to get mad at what I'm fixing to say, but I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. Anybody that has never been convicted of the Holy Spirit drawn to God because you're a sinner, you're not saved. The Bible says that we have to be drawn by the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit will draw us and convict us and convince us that we are lost in need of Jesus Christ as our Savior. And if you've never experienced conviction, you're not saved. And I'll throw this in. You just don't decide in the old time, I'm going to be saved today. Don't work that away. You can't just wake up one morning and say, you know what? I want to be saved today. Save me. I'm saved. No, it don't work that away. The Spirit of God must draw you to Him. There's a lot of people out there, hate to say it, say they're wheat, but they're tares. But they belong to a church. They've been baptized. They teach a class. Listen, there's deacons, there's pastors, there's Sunday school teachers. There's members in the choir, lost as a goose. I said ghost, didn't I? Goose. I'm here to tell you, they've never been saved because they put their faith and trust not in the good seed of the gospel of grace, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His atoning death on Calvary's cross for our sins, but they placed their faith in their works and their feelings and their tares. They're not weak. And don't base your salvation on the good doctrine of the Word of God and not in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, you can believe everything there is about the blood. You can believe everything there is about the virgin birth. You can believe everything there is about His death, burial, and resurrection. But if you have not placed your faith in the person of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how much doctrine you know and believe. You'll still die lost and go to hell. You can know all the doctrine there is. And I've known people that have known the Bible. A lost person can do it. You say, no, it's impossible. All right, answer me this then. Who would agree with me that the devil knows every scripture there is in the Bible? He even trembles at it. But he knows the Bible. But guess what? He's still going to hell. And I'm here to tell you, sinner friend, you can know everything there is to know about our doctrinal statement. You can believe it with all your heart. But if you've not asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and save your soul, you're lost. Doctrine is of no use to you until you know the Savior. And that's what breaks my heart the most, because I know there's Baptists that know the doctrine frontwards, backwards, up, down. They know it sideways. They got it down. Why? Because they were in a Bible-believing, Bible-practicing church. And they heard it. And they heard it. But yet, they never trusted the person. And that person is God's only begotten. And if you've done that, you know the Bible, you got it down, but you've not trusted Jesus, then you are a tare. And you're lost. See again, wheat, the tare. The Lord said, leave them alone. Because the servants came and they noticed, there's tares among the wheat. Lord, do you want us to go ahead and cut that down? And the farmer, who is our Lord, the sower of the seed, he said, no, you leave it alone till harvest time. You know why? Because he knows that if you start pulling out the tares, the roots of those tares are intertwined with the roots of the wheat, and you're going to do more harm than good. And that's where, as I said earlier, it's not my place or your place to judge someone. You see, God looks at the heart. Man looks out the outward appearance. But it's God that knows the heart. And again, last time I checked, I ain't seen any of you look like the Holy Spirit to me. You may possess the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you do. But you're not the Holy Spirit. And neither am I. So leave the judging to Him. But you'll know them by the fruit they bear. Amen? You'll know. Now, He said, just leave it alone. And then the reapers will come, which He said with the angels, and they'll do what? They'll take and bundle the tares. And they'll burn them. And I want you to understand something. If you are under the sound of my voice and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not saved. You are a tare. And Jesus said, what's going to happen is you're going to be burned. You see, there's only two destinations after this life. One is to be burned, eternally separated from God in a place called hell, forever and forever. Or you're wheat, and guess what? You're going to be gathered and placed in the Father's house. But there's only two destinations, heaven or hell. And you're either wheat or you're a tare. And again, if you're banking on someone telling you you are saved and not receiving Christ as your personal Savior, you're headed for the fire. If you're banking on your good works, and by the way, there's lots of tares in the church that do wonderful works, but they're still lost because they're basing their salvation on what they do good to impress everyone instead of in the Savior. If you are basing your salvation on how much Scripture you know, going to be burned. You see, Jesus said you have to be born again. See, it's not by accident Paul told the Corinthians, examine yourself. Prove yourself whether you're in the faith. Because anybody that's truly been saved, one, has been under conviction, and you're going to know it. And two, you're going to know through the Holy Spirit that you belong to the Lord. Amen? You're going to know. But a tear is going to be just the opposite. Because they're not going to know. But aren't they in for a rude awakening? Burned for all eternity. And set in a pew in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing church and died and went to hell. That's terrible. it's bad enough for anyone to die and go to hell, but to sit in one of the Lord's churches as a member, so-called member, and then die and go to hell? Again. I said, well, preacher, we're all saved here. Why would you preach this message? First of all, if you're truly saved, you have nothing to worry about. This ain't going to bother you a bit. But if you begin to feel the Holy Spirit saying, you're a tear, you're lost, maybe it's time to get up to this altar and get it settled. So I don't know, preacher. Your devil's trying to tell me I'm not saved. And it's true, sometimes if you're truly saved, the devil will try to put a doubt in your mind from time to time. I'm not saying he wouldn't do that, but you understand this morning. This message. The old devil is not going to cut his throat. That's not the devil telling you you're a tear, because he'd be cutting his throat. He doesn't want you to get saved. He's the enemy. He's the one that attacked the field of the sower of the seed. He is our enemy. You say, well, why does he plant tares in the church with the wheat? I'll tell you why. Because he wants to disillusion believers. He wants people to be disillusioned and deceived about their salvation. And then when they die, they wake up in hell. That's a feather in his cap. He also wants to counterfeit, and he wants people to be deceived into thinking they can just believe any old way and still reach heaven. There's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life. And by the way, he wants to punch the Lord in the face by saying, look at all of those people there. Huh. Look. Yeah, that's your church. Those are your people. See, he wants the world to see that the Lord's church is nothing, made up of nothing or no one. It doesn't mean anything, because after all, they're like the world. And there are churches like the world. And I'll go ahead and say it. There's over, I thought, Pew Research, it's been a while. The last estimate was, Brother Cyril, they said there's about 200 million church members in America. 200 million. What are we, about 303 million? So 2 to 1. But over 200 million that have their name on a church roll. I got a question. If they're all saved, then why do we have murder, rape, fornication, homosexuality, drunkenness, dope, and every other hellish thing you can think of on this earth if everybody's saved in those churches? Why do church kids have the same rate of premarital sex as the world if they're all saved? That's why God gave you this message. Not everyone is saved. They think they're saved. And as I said just a moment ago, and I'm going to close, person you might be sitting next to, you may be wheat, but they could be a tear. What am I supposed to do? Pray for their salvation.
Seek them out. Talk to them. Share God's word. Don't be afraid to ask them for their testimony. That's what I always do. I'm not ashamed to ask someone. Share with me. We just baptized Brother RJ, asking for a testimony. That's the first thing I ask. Yeah, I want to make sure you're saved. Now, do I know for a fact? I can only go by what he tells me. Y'all can only go by what I tell you. But we're supposed to be saved if we belong to the Lord's church. And this parable teaches us while there's truly saved in his church, there's also lost people there because the old devil has got them planted there. But there's only two destinations for the wheat going into the barn. Heavenly Father's barn. Which lets me know I'm going to one day be with the Lord in His house one day. Because I'm wheat. Now, I can only answer for me. I'm wheat. I don't know if Lori's wheat or not. She says she is, and I believe she is, but I don't know that any more than she knows that I'm truly wheat. But I'll tell you this, if you're truly saved, you'll produce fruit. And the more you're into the Word of God, the more you pray, the more you come to church, guess what? As wheat, you mature, and that old head starts bowing to the feet of the Lord. I'll tell you, those that are tares, they're those ones don't bow. Why? Because of pride. Pride. Because they're worried about, one, their lifestyle being cramped. Oh, if I give my heart to Jesus, I can't do what I want. I can't enjoy life. No, you can't enjoy your sin. Two, well, what will everybody think? I've been a member of Lone Mountain since the doors were open. Oh my goodness, I'm teaching Sunday school. I'm singing in the choir. What will they think? I'll tell you what they'll think. Praise the Lord. It's about time. Amen. It's about time. Praise the Lord. And let me just give you a little ditty. Chances are, other members of this body that are now wheat were probably a tear earlier, and they had to humble themselves and make things right. So don't be afraid of what someone's going to think. Here, we're going to rejoice and praise the Lord. What I'm trying to get across is don't tune me out. This message is too important. Don't tune me out. Let this day be your day. Because you may not have another opportunity to make the most of the opportunity God has given you. That little voice saying, you're a tare. You're a tare. You need to be saved. That's not the devil. That's the Holy Spirit. Obey His voice. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Amen. So, in close, what are you? Wheat or tares? Are you going to be burned? Or are you going to the Father's house? It's your choice. And it's a choice you have to make. Amen.